You are listening to the Quest for Wholeness podcast, a biopsychosocial spiritual guide. If you're interested in the human experience, health, wholeness, and how everything is interconnected, then you are in the right place. In this show, we will explore the interconnected realms of health that lead to whole human beings. My name is Lexi Burz, and I'm passionate about holistic well-being, longevity, and am armed with an education in psychology. I'm so grateful to have you here with me. Welcome to A Quest for Wholeness podcast. Coming up on A Quest for Wholeness podcast.
So when you stop for a moment and reflect on, okay, I'm feeling anxious, like what's that about? And you look deeper and give it the space and attention that it's requiring from you to understand what you need in that moment. And then you can nourish that part of you. Then you can start to understand, okay, like this is how I'm being impacted, but actually like, no, I don't need to feel anxious about this. And you check in with yourself and then you can start to live from a place of clarity, and then project your values from the inside out rather than just living in this reactionary place all the time.
Cassandra Hamilton draws on her experience both from working in the global health field and various healing modalities such as sound healing, Ayurveda, and bioenergy healing, which she has learned over the years. She works with clients in transformative health and life coaching, facilitates transformative ceremony circles, and most recently, co-hosts community ecstatic dance events. Cassandra values connection, community, and is a huge advocate of inner work because she believes this has a positive ripple effect in the world. She works with people to immerse themselves in holistic experiences curated to restore balance and promote well-being. Could I have described a better guest for the show? Throughout this podcast, you'll hear me mention Max Becker Poes frequently as he's introduced me to numerous remarkable individuals like Cassandra. When I met Cassandra, her perspective on health and energy immediately captivated me. Her story struck a chord. Despite seemingly having it all, societal pressures led to overwhelming anxiety. Cassandra's journey resonates deeply with me. The realization that traditional societal expectations don't fit everyone's path is something I'm kind of grappling with right now. Cassandra bravely pursued her true purpose to find fulfillment, which is incredibly inspiring. I'm grateful to have connected with Cassandra and to have gained a new friend. Here we go with Cassandra Hamilton. So, Cassandra, you were saying that one of your beliefs are that we are all able to live a happy, joyful, and peaceful existence in spite of whatever's happening around us. So, in theory, this sounds great, right? But in reality, how do we take action to actually start living more harmoniously?
Oh, such a good question. So I always like to think about it in sort of like a four-step process. So we've got our external environment, and then, you know, that's just there. And if we're not aware of how that's impacting us, then we just sort of live life in this reaction mode. But if we start to understand like, oh my God, I have so much anxiety, or like, oh, I'm just so stressed out. And we start to look at that aspect of our health and like what's going on inside of us in reaction, and then start to understand that a bit better and recognize it and acknowledge it, investigate it. And then we nourish that part of ourselves that's feeling maybe unsafe, or, you know, what is that anxiety telling us? And then we get clear on that and take control of that within ourselves. We can start to live from, I like to call it like an inside out mentality rather than an outside in mentality. And that's really like the theme of everything that I've been trying to do with work and with the book that I'm working on. And yeah, everything is about connecting with self first and understanding ourselves, and then observing from the inside out what's going on.
So when you say that, the inside out versus the outside in, is that more so of like, I'm just trying to understand this. So the inside out would be like analyzing and connecting with yourself internally and then seeing how things kind of affect you on the other levels. And then outside in would just be more of like a reactionary state. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So, for example, like, I think our world is really set up right now in a place of like, here's what you need to do. You need to go to school. You need to do these things. And then we're constantly like reaching for these things outside of us, but we're not really understanding the impacts of like, what's that doing to my internal world, like my mental health, my emotional health. For me, for example, like I have always had to manage anxiety, which is very much about like worrying about the future and reaching for the future. So when you stop for a moment and reflect on, okay, I'm feeling anxious, like what's that about? And you look deeper and give it the space and attention that it's requiring from you to understand what you need in that moment. And then you can nourish that part of you. Then you can start to understand, okay, like this is how I'm being impacted, but actually, like, nope, I don't need to feel anxious about this. And you check in with yourself, and then you can start to live from a place of clarity, and then project your values from the inside out rather than just living in this reactionary place all the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I have come to realize over the last few years and really truly believe that anxiety specifically is like it's like a symptom of something. So if you can kind of get at what the root issue is, that doesn't quell the anxiety completely, let me tell you. I also deal with anxiety and have for most of my life. But it's like then it's not just like a thing that you're dealing with anymore. There's like something that it's connected to. And for me, that's really like validating that it's just not this like horrible experience that I'm having that isn't going to end. There's something that's actually like potentially causing it. And I will say, uncovering that isn't always a clear process, though.
No, it's not. Actually, have you heard of Tara Brach?
No.
Okay, she is a psychologist and a speaker. She's amazing. She has an acronym, and I really like this for anyone who needs a strategy for how to apply this, right? I always think about how can I apply this? And that acronym is RAIN, RAIN, and it stands for recognize, acknowledge, investigate, and then nourish. So whenever you're having that reactive behavior or some kind of reaction within yourself to something, if you first of all can name it and recognize it, and then acknowledge it and say, hey, like I see you, anxiety, like I see you, and then investigate, like, what is this about? And then you start to nourish the part of yourself that's actually under the anxiety. Then you start to gain your control back, right? Like your true control, not this like illusionary control, but like the control that we have to observe what's happening in our inner world and then operate from that place, which is more authentic. And that's like really where we're coming from is like, how am I being authentic and showing up in this connected way with the world? So, yeah.
And I'm sure you get into this a lot with the people that you coach and support in that way as well. But like, I think the nourishing piece can be really challenging because, as you mentioned before, we live kind of in this outside world. The social pressures and the social expectations, like what we should be doing, what we should be achieving, honestly, I think inhibit us from actually learning how to nourish ourselves in like this authentic way that you're talking about. So how do you support or how do you assist others in learning how to even figure out what they need? Because I think, I've been doing some work in the last couple of years around like inner child work and being like, whoa, that part of me or like that self, that version of Lexi really needed like a hug. So like, going into my mind and like picturing my younger self and then giving me a hug, that's really nourishing. But that took like a lot of work to even figure out what was missing or even what like part of me needed nourishing and what kind. So that's a loaded question. So I guess my direct question is, though, how do you support people in uncovering what they specifically need to be nourished?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And first of all, I would say it requires like a curiosity And once that's there, like I provide the accountability and the mirroring and the space to investigate that together. But it's really not about me as a coach. It's more holding space for an ex and for their journey of exploration for whatever it is that they're trying to uncover. And another thing I will say is that a lot of this stuff operates at a subconscious level, right? So, for example, someone can come to me and say, "Oh my gosh, I keep like attracting all of these guys into my life that are not working out. Like, what is happening?" And then when we start to look at things like the critter brain, I call it, which is your, for example, like a self-sabotage behavior. How are you sabotaging yourself in this situation? For example, one of those behaviors could be like desiring acceptance. And all self-sabotage all comes down to a fear of not being loved, really, essentially. So it's like, how is that showing up for you in this situation? And once we start to unpack that and the awareness is there, they can start to see like, oh my God, it happened this week. I was like, oh, like this happened and I saw it, like I saw it happening. And then once that awareness is there, you can start to like investigate it and then rewire those things within yourself. And the way that I always like welcome people to nourish that part of themselves is like, look, we have these patterns in our brains to protect us in some way, right? Like you developed that strategy over time to exist in this world that we live in. So like thank it. When you notice it, say thank you. Thank you for showing up. I see you. And now like we're gonna update the system and we're gonna try a new pattern. And it's okay, you're safe, but I need to pivot here a little bit, right? So like then we're taking back, like I said, the driver's seat. We're taking back control of our lives and living from the inside out.
I really, really like that because I think, with trauma or, whatever challenges people are experiencing in their lives, as you said, those protective mechanisms developed for a reason. Like they were adaptive at some point, and maybe they aren't adaptive now, which is even causing more crisis and distress. But the way that you said that was like so, like from a strength-based place, which I really liked, like thanking it, showing it appreciation, and then, okay, let's like let you go because you don't serve me anymore. That's, I just, yeah, I always think it's nice to think of it from that strength-based place rather than being like, wow, this is such an awful like thing that I've been doing or way I've been living my life, because that's also not going to help you or, self-sabotaging or whatever's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, going back to your inner child, like there's, if you punish a child, like that's not a way to change their behavior, right? Like that's not going to get the results that you want. You want to encourage and come from that place of like positive reinforcement, right? So it's just, we're just doing that for ourselves in these coaching sessions. Yeah.
Oh, so cool. Yeah, because when I first learned, like, okay, if people don't know about like inner child work, it sounds really like woo-woo-y, right? Like it does. And I was skeptical at first, but once I really started to like go a little bit deeper in it, and like there's some merit to it. So if anyone's listening to this right now and is like super skeptical, be curious and be open because you might learn something that could be helpful to you.
Absolutely. The more work that I do, I realize like everything stems from childhood. Like those patternings and subconscious conditionings, like they happen at a really young age and they don't just go away. You just learn how to manage them, right? So, yeah, fascinating stuff for sure.
Yes. So I want to talk a little bit more as you, as a coach specifically, and you support people dealing with anxiety, stress, pain in their mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual spaces. So, what are some of the practices or like techniques that you do with individuals to help them?
Yeah, we do a lot of, like I said, these mental kind of pauses in trying to create that space between reaction and choose how we're going to react rather than it just happens subconsciously. So doing some of these exercises, written exercises, journaling, I do a lot of like meditation and visualization. I always like to focus on small habit changes and consistency over time. So what feels manageable to you that's like related in the long term to this goal that we have way over here? What's like one thing you can do today to like step closer towards that goal? And so it's bringing back that accountability of the long-term goal, but doing it in a really gentle way to support people to get to where they want to be. I also always like to remind my clients, like it's 1% change a day. This is not, we're not going to get from 0 to 100 really quickly. That's not sustainable. But, we're like Rome wasn't built in a day, but they worked on it every day. So I like to share that with my clients. But yeah, just these kind of like reframing exercises or just looking at things a little bit differently and then practicing little habit changes and having little exercises around that to really consistently create positive change in people's lives.
I love what you first said about kind of the mental pause and creating that space, because there's a very famous psychologist named Viktor Frankl, and he has this quote, something along the lines of like, in between stimulus and response, there's a space, and in that space is the ability to choose. And I first read that when I was like 14, and that's what really got me hooked into psychology, because I was like, yes, there's a space to change if you can like get pause yourself in that moment and then make a decision.
Absolutely. And like, that's where our power is, right? Like, everything is going to be happening regardless around us. And if we're not aware enough to understand that we have control of how we react, that it doesn't have to be this way all the time, like, your whole world starts to shift because you see things differently.
And I'd really like to talk about these small habit changes because personally, I'm somebody who can basically implement a new habit kind of like that. I kind of just stopped eating sugar at one point when I decided, and that's carried through. I actually stopped drinking caffeine because I wanted to see if it would help my anxiety. So I took a month break. It didn't, and it was just negatively impacting my quality of life because I love coffee. So I started drinking it again. But for me, it's not like if I have a really strong why, it's really not hard for me to make even a big habit change. So, can you give us an example of like a habit that somebody wants to change and how they can kind of like splinter it down to be gentle? Because I think also when you want to implement a new habit, it's really easy to be really hard on yourself and come at it from like even a damaging place. So yeah. Can you break that down to like what a small version of a habit change might be?
Okay, so one of the things I like to use in my practice is called an anchor. So I'll use like a personal example. So I love to, one of my two greatest values are connection and community and being of service, because I actually feel like the best version of myself when I'm being of service to someone else. But for a long time, I didn't really give myself the time and space for like really deep self-care that was required in order to hold space for other people and do this work. Not in a way that was like consistent, that I had it like really integrated into my routines. And so I bought myself this ring, and it's a physical anchor to remind me of this habit change that I wanted to create for myself, of like, okay, your self-care is actually non-negotiable, because, and every time I rub it, it's like a reminder that this is non-negotiable, because it's actually the foundation by like on which you need to get to that place of serving others. So I find, especially for a lot of women, like a lot, we're very like externally motivated by being of service to others or like doing other things for other people, but not always connecting the dots that our self-care is a huge part of that. And so that's what that anchor does for me. It's like, okay, this is my why, and this is what I need to do in order to achieve that. So it's no longer negotiable, right? And it just kind of shifted something in my brain that was like, these things aren't separate. Like, this is all the same thing. And so you're actually of service to others when you're taking care of yourself. And like connecting it like that has really helped. So Yeah, using things like anchors. It doesn't have to be a physical one. It could be like a smell of something. Like one of my clients really loves the smell of vanilla, and that reminds her of her sensuality and like what she's trying to project into the world. And yeah, so that's
I
wonderful.
even was thinking of like a mantra or even a word, like a word that you could use to like anchor yourself down.
Yeah. Another one of my clients puts like words on her mirror because that's what helps her anchor,
Cute.
right?
Oh, I love that. That's so cute. So I want to talk a little bit about actually, because you brought up self-care, and I feel like for a good reason, it's really been like a popular topic, but I think it can be trivialized and like made to be superficial. Like self-care isn't just, getting a manicure, a pedicure, having a bath. Like it can be, it's very profound, right? So I'm really interested to hear what your kind of self-care looks like, or what you mean in that deep self-care to be able to serve others.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes in the past I would get wrapped up in like doing all these events and not really taking like as much time for myself to participate in one of these events. And that's where that community and connection piece comes in. It's like, no, like we're all doing the work together, right? Like just really participating more in the events that I'm also facilitating, taking the time to go back and forth like that. But also, I have a really strong morning practice now. So, like, I'll get up in the morning and I will make my bed. I will burn incense. I'll make myself a coffee. I'll journal. I'll set intentions. I have like an hour to an hour and a half in the morning that's just really intentionally setting up my day and checking in with myself if anything feels weird or needs to shift. And then throughout the day too, like I have moments of like, okay, like I'm feeling really tired. Like, what do I need right now? And just like really asking myself, what is it that I need? Oh, it's a bath. Okay, well, I'm gonna like have a bath on my lunch break. You know, this is what I need in this moment. And I think it is really that just checking in with yourself regularly to and having a good routine in the morning. Those two things have been really profound for me.
And what I heard basically like through that was just nourishing yourself, like checking in and being like, what do I need in this moment? Especially, the midday slumps, right? A lot of people will reach for sugar or coffee or like something that probably isn't going to make them feel better later, but just to kind of get through that hump. And I don't know if this would apply to all, but I've been kind of toying with this again, being like, okay, I'm really tired. Maybe I need to actually just go lay on the couch. And just be there for now, if I have the time, of course.
Totally. I know I was I love my little naps, and sometimes it just makes like make or break my day if I'm a little bit tired in the afternoon. And I figured out that 26 minutes is like the
Oh,
perfect nap for me.
nice. See, and that's so doable, right? Because then otherwise, I think something I've been realizing with myself when I'm feeling low or even just confused on a task or something, or just like tired, is I'll be reaching for social media right now a lot more than I normally did. And I feel like I'm trying to like nourish something there or like feel better. But ultimately, I end up feeling worse. So I think I should task myself with stepping away from that and maybe just getting in touch with myself and asking. Investigating, seeing what I need to nourish instead.
Totally. Yeah. No, thank you for that. I sometimes do what I call like a self inventory too, or an energy inventory, where I look at, okay, where are there areas of my life? I like to look at the medicine wheel, and I love to look at health that way. Actually, with my clients, that's how I frame it too, is like, okay, where, like, which parts of your health need to be nourished, right? We're not just our physical health or emotional, spiritual, you know, mental, whatever, what have you, but it's all health, right? A whole health of the person. And so I'm looking at, okay, like which parts of my health are being drained and where is it going? And where can I like draw back that energy, or where am I feeling depleted? You know, am I spending too much time on screens? Like maybe I need to go for a forest walk, or you know, balance those things out. And so having that again awareness and the pause to reflect on where you're at, and I think that's like, yeah, pretty good way to stay balanced or to give yourself space, yeah. to
Oh, I
be.
really liked what you said there because like drawing in that energy from somewhere else, because maybe you're like expending a lot of energy to feel better or get that nourishment or whatever you need in that moment in a way that's like not actually helpful for you. And then you're like depleted over here. So if you can kind of like pull that energy from this space and put it over here, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, I actually do this with like my, I have like a social kind of, it's called an, there's a really interesting exercise called an eco map where you can look at your like different social networks and see like which relationships are actually quite draining. And so maybe you're not completely cutting those people off, but you're recognizing that, okay, this is actually not where I want to be investing a lot of my time and energy right now. So let's just like pivot it somewhere else where it does feel nourishing. So yeah, it's called an eco map.
Eco map. Okay, I'm gonna look into that and maybe I can link that for listeners too if they're interested in the show notes. 'Cause yeah, that's something important. And that's not saying you should, yeah, as you mentioned, cut anybody out, but being intentional with where you're giving that time and energy. I think this is a perfect segue here because I would love for you to give us an example of how energy can tie into our more physical health.
Yeah, absolutely. So, when my anxiety was at an all-time high, it was on the outside, speaking of social media, everything looked perfect, right? Like I had the apartment downtown. I was, like had a great career, had a cool, office building that I was working at. And my anxiety was really bad. And then, but no one really knew that. And then, all these things happened. Both my grandparents passed away, and then my grandmother passed away, and my dog, and my relationship fell apart, and like within the span of a couple months. So like inside, I was not doing it. Even though my physical health was fine and everything on the outside was fine. And that's when I started to really look at my emotional health, my energy health, my mental health, and try these different modalities, like understanding that health is more than just your physical. And I tried this modality called bioenergy healing. And I remember I met this nurse, and she was doing her practicum in this energy work. And I was one of her practice clients. And during the session, we're now best friends, by the way, but like, made me keel over. Like my eyes were closed during the session, and I like keeled over, and I was like, "What did you just do?" And yeah, I could feel it. Like I could feel the energy moving where it was stuck, and it was just like this moment of like, "Whoa, that's so cool." And I then went into studying that, and eventually got like a practitionership in bioenergy healing and stuff like that. But it made me kind of realize that there's this like tangible way for us to understand how to explain physical and emotional health and mental health and how these pieces work together. And so one of the contracts that I got was in a First Nations community where I was invited to do energy healing sessions for the community, which was a huge privilege and like felt so honored to do that. And the first day was really cool because all the practitioners of all these different alternative modalities actually gave each other sessions to create the space for the week, which was really cool. But I just remember this one session that I had with a chief of the community who had had three bypass surgeries, like on his heart. And I remember working with him and feeling like around his heart chakra, like there was something going on. I could just feel this like dense energy, right? And I'd done enough sessions to understand, like, okay, something's happening in the heart. And as I'm doing the session and he's explaining to me that he's had these surgeries, I'm like, oh, like, is this grief? Like, what's going on? And during the session, I have this intuitive thing that happens where I see like an animal. And I had like this white swan was just so prominent in the session. And I don't always share that with clients, or I didn't at the time because I wasn't really trusting myself at that point of like, is this something that I can really share with people? They just think I'm weird. But I started shared with him. I was like, I need to tell you something. Like, I'm seeing a white swan. And he was like, oh, that makes sense. I actually am responsible for helping all the people in my community pass over. So he was facilitating the funerals in his community, and there were a lot going on at that time over the last couple of years. So he was holding space for that. And like, where does that show up? That grief, it's in your heart chakra. So here we are, there's been like a physical ailment that's been a direct repercussion of what he's been dealing with in his life. So it just shows like how everything is so connected. It was like, whoa, very one of those big moments for sure.
That's so powerful, and I can only imagine how powerful that must have felt in that like space with all of those other practitioners and everyone kind of working their own magic too. Like what an amazing experience to have.
Amazing. Absolutely.
So you mentioned like your friend who she was a nurse and she was training in the bioenergetics. Is that right?
You know, I think a lot of people are starting to get curious about things outside of our system, right, of health. And she was doing that at the time too. Like she was really getting into exploring energy modalities and like how to move energy and from again the inside out, trying to unpack and connect all these different aspects of health. Yeah, so she's now one of my best friends. We've worked together in bioenergy. She actually came with me to work at that community that week, along with four other people we know who do energy healing as well. Yeah, but even just the con using the concepts of what I've learned, even if I'm not performing a or conducting a session, like I will still take those lessons that I've learned through that and incorporate that in everything I do, right? Everything's connected. And if we're living intentionally, it's yeah, it's amazing all these little threads that start to connect.
Well, and I think it's amazing, as you said, living intentionally, seeing them connect. I think that's so powerful because there's one thing to be like, okay, I think all these things are connected. That and that's such like for me, I can really intellectualize things and tend to get like really stuck in my head and like thinking. So I'm like, okay, I believe this and I think this, but actually when you can like tune into the energy of your body and start feeling and seeing all those threads connect, that's a whole other level.
Yeah, our bodies have an amazing capacity to heal, right? And if you can work on what's happening on the emotional level, it's sometimes interesting what happens with the physical stuff once you've addressed another aspect of your health over here, right? So, yeah, like having that aware, it's all that awareness again, right? Let awareness investigate, nourish.
Yes. And so I know you mentioned like when you're working with clients, you'll do like breathing exercises or meditations and that sort of thing. Is there any other way that you like incorporate that energy piece into your coaching practice? Because I know, again, I'm sure if this is happening to me, it's happening to a lot of people, but we really like spend so much time from our neck up living in our head, thinking, doing work in this like very intellectual place, and it's really hard to like tune into your body. So are there ways that you incorporate like that energy healing?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So like the, I call it visualization, but it also is called like mental rehearsal. So like sitting in your body, closing your eyes, I get my clients to embody how they want to feel at the end and really start to live from that place. Because what you're putting out into the world is coming back, right? Everything is energy, and energy is everything. And what you put out comes back. So, I mean, that's the whole premise of the law of attraction, right? But to really embody that and feel it in your body, and like I ask them, you know, like what are you smelling right now? What are you seeing? What are you feeling in your body? Like, what is there tension? Like, let's talk about that. What is it saying? So we really go into the body as part of these experiences. I always do like an experiential exercise in each session to kind of hone in on what it is that we're trying to do in that intellectual way. Because it's always easier to explain first, right? And then you try to embody it with them. And I just give them a bunch of practices. And some things work for some people and some don't. So they just sort of pick and choose out of this new toolkit and yeah, just see what works.
So, to be completely honest and curious and won't judge myself here, but I don't know so much about bioenergetics. And again, if I'm feeling that way, I'm sure other people aren't maybe like familiar with this area. So could you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, not a lot of people do know about bioenergy, but a lot of people have heard of Reiki and Tai
Yes.
Chi. So I like
Right.
to talk about bioenergy. Like the best way to explain it is like if Tai Chi and Reiki had a baby, that would be energy. Because it's like a very physical way of like pulling out energy. And there's a detox section and a balancing section of the sessions, and but it is a physical presencing of like pulling out these energies, and you just start to feel it in your hands. It's so cool. Like we have our physical body, and then we have our energy body, which people sometimes see as an aura. And when you start to influence the aura and work with that energy, it will influence the physical aspects of what's happening inside your body, which is energy at the end of the day. So, yeah, it's a session of releasing what's stuck and helping your body get back to your body is amazing. Like it will just do its thing until it's stuck, right? And then
Yeah.
when we pay attention to that and loosen it, it goes back to its like regular flow. So, yeah, just bringing mindfulness to the body. Like, what is it telling you, right?
I don't know if this totally relates to like your work or even the bioenergy stuff, but like how does like a acupuncture play into like the energetic flow, I guess?
Well, so for acupuncture, I'm not like as familiar, but I know that it works with like meridian lines and different pressure points. And so again, that releases energy and helps your body get back to its vitality and flow. So similar concept with bioenergy, though we're working with the chakras, which correlate to the different like the major organs in your body. So it makes sense that those are the major energy sources, right? Because they're directly related to all these hot spots, all these organs in your body. So we just work with whichever ones are stuck and then try to get that flow going again.
If any of the listeners are like, I wonder if I have any energetic blockages, what would you suggest to kind of tune in and identify that for yourself?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually really like recommending this book for people who need to like think about this a little bit. It's by Louise Hayes, and it's called You Can Heal Your Life. And so she went through and described all the different physical ailments and what they're related to. So for example, like diabetes, well, where are you depriving yourself in your life of sweetness?
Ooh.
Yeah, things like that, or thyroid issues. Like, where in your life are you not communicating? Or where are you feeling stifled or you're not using your voice? Things like that, right? Like to bring that piece into awareness, about how we can connect. We're so disconnected in our current way of operating that sometimes we just need help to see how these things connect, because then it starts to make sense and we know what to work on. And it's all
Well,
related.
that's funny because I think in our pre-interview call, we were chatting and you had mentioned something along the lines of like, if you have like neck pain, like who in your life is being a pain in your neck? And I, yeah. And today, so this podcast is going so great and I love it. And I'm having all these amazing opportunities to connect with people like you. But the back end is killing me. Like, I've been trying to put out an episode every week, and it's just not working for where I'm at in my life and all the other responsibilities that I have. And I can literally feel it in my neck. Like, I've been having, like, I'm just like, oh, I gotta shake it out. Like, my shoulders are bothering me so much. And then this morning, my shoulders were bothering me after a workout. And I was like, do you know what? It's this goddamn podcast editing. So I'm going to do bi-weekly episodes and take the pressure off myself a little bit. But I was thinking of you when I was like, realized that maybe my neck pain might actually be related to this task.
Yeah. A lot of people I work with, like the shoulder stuff is literally feeling like the weight of the world is on their shoulders. So it's like, where can we adjust here so that that physical aspect is going? Because really, like that physical is just as relevant as these subconscious patterns that are speaking to us too, right? Like if you really tune in, like your body is talking to you, your mind is talking to you, and it's like, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I need to adjust in this area.
Yeah, like I hear you, I got you, and I'm gonna do something about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm really interested to hear before you kind of got into this work and your anxiety was kind of at its peak, as you mentioned, you were kind of living the life that you were supposed to and that everyone's like, not everyone, a lot of people are like pushed towards achieving. Did you recognize even then any like energetic things going on for you that kind of alerted you?
Yeah, my solar plexus chakra was super blocked. And so that's like the third one up from, so there's a root chakra, sacral, and then your solar plexus, heart, throat, and then your intuitive brow, and then your crown chakra. And I could feel that's where I keeled over, like in the session, was like from this place, like I like folded in half. And I was like, whoa, there's something stuck there, right? And that's about my internal power and stepping forward in my life and living this from this place of like my warrior. I wasn't living in that way. I was living in a way that I thought I should, based on what society expects or shows us is the way to success. So yeah, I did. That was how my whole journey started, was like getting curious about that.
What did you do next? Like, did it just, because I know you mentioned kind of your world was falling down around you. So did you just like make a decision or did you kind of take those small steps to changing things?
Yeah, it was a slow process. Like at first I went to counseling and I was like, no, like there's something else going on that I need to look at. And so I started exploring different modalities. So energy healing, I got into Ayurveda. And yeah, I just kind of dove into these things, and I eventually did become a bioenergy practitioner and Ayurvedic massage therapist and things like that. But it's been a journey of just unpack, because once you peel one layer, it's like, ooh, what's under there? What's under there? There. And then really, I've come to this place now where I understand that everything is from the inside out. So once I'm okay on the inside, I can then I can live from a place of alignment and be connected with my community and with myself and the world in a from a place of being authentic.
So I know before, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you were working in like, was it global health?
Yeah. So I did a master's degree in science in global health. And so it's interesting because I was definitely, nothing's really changed. It's just sort of shifted the perspective, because the global health aspect, I was interested in looking at things that surpass physical health alone. And I wanted to look at, political, economic, geographical indicators. And I worked in different countries, and I came back to Canada because I realized that I wasn't going to be someone who just started like another startup in Africa, or like I know my own environment the best, and we have marginalized health issues here with the Indigenous communities, right? And I was working for 6 years with them before all of this, like the grave uncoverings and everything, and like people were starting to finally become aware of the stark history that we have in Canada. And so I started to work there, and kind of at the same time doing this energy work, and then being more thoroughly introduced into the medicine wheel and looking at health in that way, even though that's kind of where I was going. Any like it kind of just converged at the same time. So I just got deeper into those practices and that curiosity, and that's sort of been, yeah, my journey up until this point.
That's must be such a cool perspective, having kind of that macro view, and learning that in more of like an institutional setting, because it does inform, I'm sure, at least a little bit, like what you're doing now, or kind of give you like a little bit more of a scope of understanding.
Totally. Yeah. Like there's the global perspective and there's the community perspective. Just like there's external factors and there's an internal world. And it's like, how do we bring these things together in a way that makes sense and we're living with our values and connecting with all the pieces and taking into consideration all the perspectives. And that's whole health.
Exactly, literally, whole health, like global health, wholeness. Yeah. So cool. So before we wrap up here, I wanted to ask, what piece of wisdom can you provide our listeners as they embark on their quest for wholeness?
Yeah, thank you. I'm actually writing about this right now. I just came up with a book title. It might change, but it's called How to Live in a Digital Paradox: A Journey Towards Authentic Connection. So it's just that, right? Like with the growing use of technology, where we supposedly are going to be more, we are more connected than ever in some ways. We're also paradoxically completely disconnected. And so how do we find that place back to authentic connection in a world where this is just getting more polarized with climate change, with political issues, right? So no wonder anxiety is at an all-time high. And then you add in AI, right? And it's like, well, what's the point of being human, right? Like if AI is just going to do this all for us, like where's my place? And this is really what got me back to this place of like, what is important to me? Like, why do I want to live here? I want to connect with myself and with other people. That's my human experience. And I want to feel supported by community. That's also my human experience. So those two things are really how I've been living my life now. And I think that if people can really tune into what their value or their purpose for being here is, and find ways to live from the inside out in order to line that value up for themselves. Like, that's really, I think that's the key. Like, that's where the freedom is, in my opinion.
Well, I love that we're having this discussion in this medium through this podcast because I feel like we're both getting the support and I feel definitely fulfilled from this conversation and just connecting and over shared interests, you know? So this is beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, curiosity, man. That's where it all just comes down to curiosity, peeling back the layers and making sure that we're using technology and it's not using us.
Oh my God, the slogan of the century. So I guess we'll have to have you back to talk more about that book because I feel like that's a whole episode on its own.
Totally. Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome.
Meet you and be here. And yeah, thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining me on this adventure today. If you're interested in learning more about holistic health or have topics that you'd like to hear on the show, connect with me over on Instagram at Quest for Wholeness Podcast. That's all one word, Quest for Wholeness Podcast. I'll see you next time to continue our shared quest for wholeness.